Maybe you can give us a bit of background and introduce yourself. Yeah.
Okay, so hi, my name is Anna Slavi. And the reason why I'm here today is because I am a co-founder and board member of CLIT, which is Hungary's LGBTQ women's magazine, and also like an event organizing office, let's say. On the other hand, I'm also a team leader at OTLAS, which is Hungary's LGBTQ sports association. In both cases, it's like one of a kind. So Hungary is a small country and we have only like one sports association, but it's pretty big for Hungary and for the region, because it actually has like 10 sports sections. And as far as members are concerned, it's the like biggest Hungarian LGBT association. And if you look at the sports associations within Central Europe, this is also the largest. So OTLAS is relatively big. Yes. As for CLIT, it's a relatively like young organization. We were founded 2017, so like 4 years ago. But actually, we are only one of two organizations which focus on lesbians or LGBTQ women. So that's why CLIT is an essential part of the LGBTQ community in Hungary. As for the non-activist part, the work part, I'm a scholar and I focus mostly on gender-related aspects, which at least in Hungary is pretty much interconnected with LGBTQ rights and the movement. And actually, I'm active outside of Hungary as well, being one of the core members of LGBTQ Inequalities, which is like a European scholarly network, which tries to like fight against social and economic inequalities and like bring visibility to the community.
Sounds like a lot's on your plate, but like really good activism stuff. So could you tell me what queer life is like in Hungary?
I need to like divide this question into talking about queer life in Budapest as opposed to anywhere else in Hungary, to put it simply. Or let's say there's an urban aspect to it and there's a rural aspect to it. I would say that being an LGBT person in Budapest is not bad at all. I mean, I honestly never had any atrocities. There's social life, there's nightlife, there's dating. So that's for Budapest. As for the general aspect of LGBT rights in Hungary, actually Hungary used to be or started out as a progressive European country, because actually discrimination against homosexual people was made illegal as early as 1961, which I think is even earlier than in East Germany and US. So like countries that we would consider to be much, much more progressive than Hungary. And actually, we also have registered partnership, and adoption used to be kind of possible until 2020. So I would say that legally, it is not that bad, except that in the last couple of years, a lot of negative things happened policy-wise. And why I made a difference between Budapest and, let's say, rural areas is because it's much, much harder to be an LGBT person anywhere else. There are some other, like, larger cities, but they are not at all comparable to Budapest as far as social life and visibility and associations are concerned. But if you go away, even from those urban hubs, then I think that's very, very hard to be out and live there. So most people either decide to be closeted or not even choose this path while staying there, or they would decide to come out, but then leave and come to Budapest, let's say. This is actually what I notice about most countries, that it's very different when you look at the urban areas and the rural areas. And in Hungary, that's also the situation.
So you spoke about the last years, but also in the last few weeks and months, Hungary has been in the headlines a lot. Why is that?
Well, I would go a little back in 2020. So in 2022, laws came out which were like very decisive. One is that adoption became impossible. I mean, adoption became restricted to heterosexual couples. So basically, from that point on, LGBT people had no chance to legally adopt. The other was that the same year, there was another law which targeted transsexual people, transgender people. Sex change became impossible because Hungary refused to allow the change of the birth name, and that would be the first step of the entire process. And later, the European Court of Human Rights said that this was against EU rules, but basically, I don't think a lot changed in Hungary. And now, flash forward 2021, so the government started a campaign about the protection of children. Actually, before the law, there was a crusade against a book which is called A Fairyland for Everyone, Mesha Orszag Mindenki, which is basically a volume which contained stories about marginalized children, some of them LGBTQ, some of them homeless, some of them victims of domestic violence. So stories that usually are not told. And the government and the rightist media and organizations started to really hardly campaign against it. On the other hand, internationally, it had a big, success. It was translated to a lot of languages. So there was this divide. And then the government continued with this push. And recently, they announced this law, which was first named as the pedophile law, but because it's supposed to be about pedophilia, to punish pedophilia more harshly. But the truth is that because of certain sections, it started to be referred to as the anti-LGBT law, the homophobia law. And actually, it became enacted today. So from today on, people or schools, media outlets could be punished if they did not buy this law. What this law says is that any content that portrays LGBT people or LGBT ideas in a positive way for its own sake, and this is also part of the law, is illegal under 18. So children under 18 cannot be exposed to LGBT content. So this is why Hungary has been in the news lately, internationally and also nationally. So there have been protests, a lot of positive and negative articles about it, headlines. So the LGBT content gained a lot of visibility lately.
Yeah, thank you for your honest words. I guess it's hard to talk about that because it immediately affects you. And for me, for example, I'm an LGBTQ person as well in Germany. It's really hard listening to that and imagining your reality about this. How are you and your association at last fighting for more LGBTQIA+ rights? And how are you affected by this?
Before I answer specifically about how we are, how our organizations are affected, I have to say that this law is worded or phrased in such a vague way that basically nobody knows what it actually means or how to decide what falls within the law, what kind of punishment will happen. So the thing is that legal experts are saying that this law is mainly about self-censorship. That is, since I don't know what it means, I'm just going to try to avoid everything that might fall under this category. So basically what I'm trying to say is that if you don't agree with it, you don't need to abide it. And that's what I feel. I as an educator also feel that this law will not change the way I teach. And actually, several LGBT organizations in Hungary decided to stand up against it. So, for example, Háttér Society, or actually the LGBT Alliance, launched a website today, which is specifically for children about LGBT topics. On the one hand, obviously, they want to provoke the government to see what it actually will trigger, what consequences it will actually bring. On the other hand, the hashtag "You are not alone" is now the main phrase, that it is mainly children's rights which are violated here, nothing else. And obviously, we are not gonna. We as LGBT activists, we as educators, we as people who care about other people, we will not let this happen. So that's the general reaction, I would say. As for CLIT and OTLAS, we don't tend to have underaged members, so it doesn't affect us in a way that we would need to, like, we would be forced to kick anybody out. As for CLIT, we do have content. I mean, our contents are available by anybody. So theoretically, an underage person could see all the things that we write about. So I think what it actually will mean for us, but nobody knows it yet, is that we need to put like an 18 sign on our website and explicitly say that our contents contain non-traditional relationships. It's been a lot of debate lately about how to interpret this law and what it means. Everybody was pretty outraged about it. That's one thing. I mean, we didn't believe that things like this can happen. But all the debates that I heard about it suggest to me that this cannot be kept. I mean, these rules cannot be and will not be kept. And its purpose was not even to be kept, but more like to distract attention and to create another enemy figure, because this is what the government has been doing, creating different enemy figures to focus on.
So in the new law, homosexuals are equated to pedophiles. How does it make you feel? What changes do you like to see?
Obviously not to be equated with pedophilia. What changes? Well, you know, right now, and actually it was yesterday that the EU Parliament had a debate about it, and today the ruling was that they want to sanction Hungary for this. I'm curious to see how the government will respond to this, but I'm kind of afraid that what this will lead to is that the EU funds, which will not get to Hungary, will be most detrimental for people, not for the government, so for people who actually need it. And two, that this is another step for the government to prove that the EU is against us and we need to leave. So what I'm actually afraid of is Hungary's EU membership on the one hand. On the other hand, about people or youngsters in the countryside who have much less contact or have much limited contact and who may believe these things and will be left alone with whatever they're struggling with inside.
So you already described that, like, the general mood is like not very good right now, and just like really concerned for the votes and stuff. How is the mood through society, in society, and especially in everyday life?
It's not that you would see anything different on the streets. This kind of brought closer the members of the LGBT community, especially because right now we are in the Pride month. I mean, for us, Pride lasts for a month, and we are kind of just in the middle. So there are a lot of events going on. So we as a community, at least the ones who are involved, this just made us more resilient and, I don't know, dedicated. As for the outside world, I mean, the kind of headlines that I've seen in the last couple of days were like shocking, because I actually have a compilation of what certain media outlets wrote. So they would say that this is an aggressive LGBTQ propaganda for children, that we are rainbow migrants, that all this was done by George Soros, that we are terrorists. I mean, things that you don't even know what to say to. So what I think happened is that now the LGBT community became the target of the usual attacks. Usual is that all these keywords have been around for the last almost 12 years. It's just the target was somebody else. There was the migrant, there was the immigrants, refugees, which he kept equating with migrants. Then there was George Soros, then there was the EU. At some point there was the Roma people. So, I mean, there's always somebody who is the target of the same slurs. So I would say that this will pass, and I know that this is not really about us. It's unbelievable how certain people can believe this. Certain people who have access to information.
During the European Championship, it was planned to light up the Allianz Arena in Munich for the game Germany versus Hungary in rainbow colors. Due to donors and interest groups, it was prohibited to light up the Allianz Arena. So how do you feel about that? And what do you wish from Germany and other nations to happen?
Since I'm not a policymaker, it's hard for me to answer this question. But what I can say is that definitely if you can keep this question on the agenda, that's what helps us the most. So that don't let them get away with this. That's what I can ask. As for the arena, it was a nice proposal. Instead of the arena, then later the logos of the logo of FIFA and then the logo of certain companies changed. That's also nice. So, I mean, I also have friends who would say, let's not mix politics into football because football is about football. And for example, these friends of mine, these are the ones who would need sensitization. And for them, this was another reason why to hate the LGBT people. So it's not like a 100% good solution. Because even now, I heard people saying, again, the LGBT people are making a mess. One more reason to hate them for. So I would say that actually, what happened, what changed in Hungary in the past decades, let's say ever since I came out, was visibility. When I was struggling with this, there was zero visibility. That meant that I was completely lost. I didn't really know where the community is because there was no community. There were hardly any like LGBT content to watch. As opposed to this right now, you turn on Netflix, you turn on HBO, and it's very hard not to find anything. So you do have content to like educate you about this. At the same time, you also have this government propaganda which says that you're sick. So, and it makes it more, made it more polarized. Back then, I could suffer in myself. These people, these children nowadays, or these youngsters nowadays, they have a very different reality, which I don't know if it's harder or easier than it was for me, I don't know, 15 years ago. But definitely there's more like overt homophobia than back then.
So for me personally, the opinion that it was like a political view was discussed in Germany as well. So for me personally, it was just like, it was no political issue. I just want to be who I am and love who I am. That's not political at all. Just want to be like the rest of them is. But what happened after the UEFA Allianz Arena? Were there waves of sympathy? Because, for example, there were a lot of LGBTQIA plus allies and members standing in front of the stadium and like giving out pride flags, and drag queens were there and drag kings, and it was just like a real wave of sympathy. But also, did it last onto you, to Hungary?
Well, you know, of course, I mean, through the media, it did get to us. I mean, I would say it did get to me. That's what I can say. But the point is that I'm part of several LGBT associations. I'm on several LGBT mailing lists. I'm in several Facebook groups. So it did reach me. like I said, a child struggling at home with their LGBT identity, I don't know if it reached them. So it's harder for me to say what it is. I mean, how this law is affecting more marginalized people, but I would say that the active members of the community just became stronger, and we do feel this international support, because actually in the last couple of weeks, we had so many interview requests and so many articles were written, and I see such a uplifting visibility and support that I've never felt before. So on the one hand, there, it does have a positive impact. It's just that it was not my kind of group that needed the support mainly, but children. But actually, that's our responsibility. So we try to keep on and give them the support that we can.
So yeah, you spoke about before, but what do you hope will you do in response to the law?
Yeah, well, this is also hard for me to say, like I said, because I'm not a lawyer or policymaker. I'm happy that the EU stood up for Hungarian LGBT people. I'm just not sure how they're standing up for us and against our prime minister will impact Hungary. Again, what I can say is what I fear. I don't want Hungary to leave the EU, because then the LGBT community, Hungarian LGBT community, will be completely left alone, and Hungarian women, because gender inequality is also a very serious problem in Hungary. So what I hope is that the EU will keep on standing up for human rights, but in a way that will not make Hungarian people even more miserable. But I don't know what is the solution. I just wish that we are heard and we are cared about.
So right now, what concerns are still running through your mind?
Well, I can only repeat myself here. One, that those who have been the most marginalized will be even more marginalized. That is, poor people living in poor areas with limited resources and limited contact will have even less information about sex education, let's say. And for teenagers, I think that's crucial. So on the one hand, this is what I'm afraid of. On the other hand, like I said, what this conflict between the EU, yet another conflict between the EU and Hungary, will cause regarding our EU membership. And thirdly, that probably this LGBT card was something that the government needed to play or wanted to play before the upcoming elections in order to divide the opposition. Because basically, Fidesz, the governing party, had two main enemies, or have two main enemies: the left, which unfortunately is like not strong enough yet, and it's too like too many small parties, let's say. On the other hand, there's Jobbik, which is the far right, and far right and left are obviously very far from each other, but because of the long Orbán rule, these two sides started to like work together. But obviously the LGBT card is something that divides them, and that makes it pretty dangerous for the upcoming election, for the opposition and for everybody who hopes for the opposition to win.
So the fight for LGBTQIA plus rights continues in Germany as well. But however, for the law, people in Germany are mostly equal. What appeal do you have to the people in Augsburg in Germany?
Well, as far as I know about Germany, I mean, personally, I've only been to Berlin regarding Germany, and I really like Berlin. But whenever I made interviews with people from over Germany, I heard kind of similar patterns as in Hungary, obviously in different scale, but that it's not as good to be an LGBT person outside of Berlin as it is in Berlin. So perhaps to find ways to reach out to rural people, people who are not living in bigger cities.
So I just got to put another question in there because I got interested when you were talking about the upcoming election. And I read an article that says that the parties try to unite as opposition, but of course the LGBTQ topic is like dividing them. So you're wishing for the opposition to win, of course, but what do you see could be the outcome of the upcoming election?
Well, if I knew, I would be the oracle. I mean, I really hope that finally there will be some change. I mean, this is what I hoped in the last 12 years or 11. But once again, I was disappointed so many times. So I don't really know what to, I mean, I know what to hope for, but I don't know what is realistic. I was very glad when Gergely Karácsony was elected as mayor of Budapest. So now we have a leftist mayor, which is great. And actually, it was a surprise to me because I just lost hope. So the point is that I feel that being an intellectual living in Budapest, I kind of live in a bubble and it's hard for me to understand the majority of Hungarians, who can be, who are not informed, I mean, who don't have access to the information that I do, and who live in such poverty that they can be bought with 1 kilo of potato for a vote. So what I'm trying to say is that a couple of years ago, I was in a town like 1.5 hour drive from Budapest, which is like this small, mainly Roma, very poor town or not village. And for those people to travel to Budapest was a bigger adventure and a bigger expense than for me to travel to Philadelphia. So I think that says a lot. And that kind of explains, and I'm not rich. So what I'm trying to say is that I'm a middle-class person and I can travel to Philadelphia and they are so poor that they cannot travel to Budapest. So I don't know the realities of those people. And I don't know that feeling when 1 kilo of potato means that much. So what I'm trying to say is that I don't blame a lot of people because it's not that they are like willingly evil, but we live in so different realities.
If you could make an appeal to the listeners of the radio station and to all the people, to the young generation, also to the other generations in Germany, how could we reach out to help you guys?
To talk about this, to not forget about this, to not forget about us, to keep this on the table. So this is what I would ask, to not let them get away with this. And I could just repeat the Hungarian hashtag, you are not alone. So we are all together in this and this we will work out how to move on.
Is there any way to donate directly to you guys so you could do more outreach work?
I mean, certain organizations can accept donations. So if you're interested in donating, then there are a number of Hungarian LGBT associations. Some of them actually work with children. I mean, there are programs which work with children, so it's also possible to donate there. Yeah, so it's possible even do that money-wise.